I read a story that blessed me so much. The story is about a missions couple that they served in Africa in the 1931s. That was a long time ago. And you could just imagine how Africa looked in those years. But they were missionaries up in the north. And then a baby was born unto them. But unfortunately, this baby died. And then the couple, it was their time to go back to America for leave. And they went back to their home country. And then they talked to people about this, the baby that died. And as this lady was sharing about the symptoms of this lady, then the people said, oh, well, we think, this, if that was the symptoms, that must be the cause. And we just want to encourage you to take a lot of barley oats with you and prunes, because at that time in Africa, those stuff wasn't available. So she took a lot of barley oats and prunes with her, because maybe she could fall pregnant again. Back in Africa, quite a while, life went on. And one day, one of the church members came to them, and she said, well, this baby was born unto us, this is the symptoms of this baby. And it was precisely the symptoms that their first baby had. And so this lady, in her graciousness, she gave to this black lady all the barley oats and all the prunes that she had. And then she fed it to this baby, and this baby was growing stronger and stronger and stronger, and eventually this baby was healthy again. Well, as you imagined, a few months later, this lady felt pregnant, a baby was born, and it wasn't long, and the baby shown the same symptoms as the first baby. But this lady, she gave away all her barley oats, she gave away all the prunes. And so she heard that the lady that she gave the barley oats to, that lady was going to a shop. It was about 30 miles away. You can work it out in kilometers. And the lady came by her house, and she put on the list barley oats and prunes. And this African lady, she was like, she was like, what's that word? Unstelled. She was upset with this lady, and she said, you must have made provision for yourself, because you know that there is no such things like barley oats and prunes, in Africa. And this lady, she was like, it hit her really hard, I think not so much what the lady said, but the attitude. So she went into a room and she prayed, and she said, God, please help me. I really, really need you to come through for me. In the meantime, there were some visitors coming to her husband. And they were from Belgium. They were working on a plant, someone at the plant, he died because of sunstroke. It was 1931, way back then. And this guy who died, he started to read the New Testament, and he gave his heart to Jesus. Before he died, he said, no, he wants to be buried at the place where this mission couple was working. So the husband called his wife, a few times, and then, she was struggling with the Lord, like Hannah did. And then eventually, she came to meet the husband and the visitors. And then the one visitor, he was like very apologetic. He said, you know, they sent us every month a lot of, a lot of stuff from Belgium, food and a lot of stuff. And he said, but I hope you don't care, but they sent us every month this barley oats and prunes, and I don't need it. Would it be okay with you if I gave it to you? You know, and I don't know if you believe in God's providence, but that was God working. You know, and every month, you know, she gave away what she had. I don't know how long it would last. But then this guy from Belgium said, and you can have mine every month. So guys, I just want to encourage you. You know, God knows about us. He knows what we need. He is such an awesome God. And I want to recommend you two books. This book is from Robert Morris. Don't know who of you read this book, The Blessed Life. Anyone that already read it? It says here, Unlocking the Rewards of Generous Living. I'm not after your finances, but I know one thing, you know, there's a life that's more than just giving tithes and offering. There's a life of living generously, you know, to give. And this lady that I just shared the story of, she was a lady that lived like that. You know what? When the other person was in need, she was generous. She gave away. She knew a baby was on its way, but she gave away. So I just want to encourage you. You can have this book of Robert Morris. I've only read a few chapters, but the first one got me hooked. And you know what? God wants us to live on a different level. God has more for us than what you and I can ever imagine. Get yourself that book, The Blessed Life, by Robert Morris. And then we also got snap scan codes at the back. So if you want to give and you don't have the moolah with you, you can use your cell phone and, give to God. And then there's another book that I want to strongly recommend for all the men. This book's name is Finishing Strong. It's a book a few years ago. It really, really changed my life. It's by author Steve Farrar. And at the back it says, one man in 10 will finish strong. God wants us to finish strong. And I really want to recommend to the men this book. Take a lot and order yourself those books. Amen. I believe they will help you a lot. Let's just pray together. Father, we just want to thank you, God. Thank you that your word is so powerful. Thank you that there is life in your words. And God, as you sit on the throne, thank you that in heaven, your word carries supreme authority. That when you speak, then darkness have to give light. Darkness have to obey. And God, we pray that by your Spirit, God, that your word will be so powerful tonight in our lives. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you said that you will remind us of the words of Jesus. And thank you that you lift up Jesus in this evening. For we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's people say, Amen. The theme for the word that I believe God wants to share with us tonight is keep your eye on the finish line. Keep your eye on the finish line. I remembered years ago when Johan Vermalter at Agape Church in Bloemfontein, when he discipled a lot of young men that was called by God and willing to become ministers of the gospel, he would so many times told us, it's not how you start that counts, but how you finish. God wants us to finish strong. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul is saying, I have fought the good fight. Some of you can testify that to follow Jesus, you need to fight. You are in for a fight. And Paul says, I have finished the race. I have completed the race, and I have kept the faith. Guys, we need faith all the time. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need faith. We need to use our faith every day. Faith is not to buy cars and you know, buy properties and to get the business. Faith is for kingdom purposes. Are you still with me? When I came in tonight, I asked Christine, I asked Ben, okay, guys, for how many people do we put out our faith for next Sunday evening? Hello, are you still with me? So we trust in God, okay? And we said, okay, 80, and then Ben came, Ben said 100, and Christine and Ben high-five each other. We trust in God for 100 people next Sunday evening for that outreach service. Are you in? We are in. Who of you are in? It says, God, I'm trusting God with you. Okay, so we need to invite people. We need to go out to people and get them in. But Paul said, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So guys, we need every day, we need our faith to be fresh. Every day we need to run with God. So I'm going to share tonight with you on a king with the name of Asa. Is that correct? A-S-A. Asa. Now Asa, he started off strong. He was a new kid on the block. In 2 Chronicles 14, we read, so Abia rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa was looking for God's favor on his life. He was looking for God's peace. He was looking for God's protection. Do you know how many Christians are looking for God's protection and God's blessing? I think 95%. Okay. And Asa, he was a man of action. So let's see what he did to acquire God's favor and God's peace and God's protection. Verse 2 says, so Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Asa was a man of action. And to acquire God's favor and God's peace and God's protection, you and I need to do a few things. And what we see that Asa did, that's important for you and us, we need to break with everything that is not of God. If you and I make a decision for Jesus, when we choose to follow Jesus, we need to become radical. Say to the person next to you, radical. We need to become radical. If we want to follow Jesus, we need to do some radical steps. You know what? To pray, let your kingdom come, it's a declaration of war. We need to run with God. Now, verse 3 says, he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. This was a man of action. So he became king and he decided to run with this God. And he decided, you know what, to remove the altars, to broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. And guys, one of the first things, if we want to run with God, is that we must get rid of everything that's not from God. We need to remove, to break down, and to cut down everything that's not from God. And I think the one thing that makes us stumble the most is we must get rid of dead religion. You know, religious stuff, you know, that's no life in it. To live for God takes courage. And the one thing that you and I need to do is to distance yourself from everything which is not of God. Now, in the time of Asa, they were foreign gods, high places, sacred pillars, wooden images. And I asked myself, I said, God, but what is the things that we struggle with today? Because, you know, there's no wooden images, you know. Don't know, maybe on Paul on the mountain there may be a few wooden images. But you think the thing that we struggle with is the God or the idol of finances. It's that's like somebody said, you know, there's only one letter difference between gold and God. And so many times, you know, we say we worship God, but what we actually worship is gold. We like financial prosperity. You know, we want to be financially safe. And it's not wrong. The Bible says we must go to the ant. We must look how the ant lives. But you know what? We must do it in God's way. There's also the God or the idol of acceptance. So many times we would do a lot of things to be part of the group, to be accepted, so that others would bring us into the group. And then there's also the God or the idol of perfection. We want to be perfect in an unperfect world. You know what? We worship that idol of perfection. And you know what? God wants us to be humble. So we need to cut the things that will keep us back from God. The second thing that I see in Asa's life is that we need to see God and get into His Word. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 4 says, "This king commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment." He said, guys, it is time to see God, not for His blessing, but for who He is. And this morning, Theo, you know, he shared a word. He says, you know what? God spoke to me as we were worshiping Him. Why am I worshiping Him? Do I worship Him because I want a breakthrough? Do I worship Him because I need healing? Do I worship Him because I need finances? Do I worship Him because there's one or other thing that, you know, that I've got a desperate need of? Or do I worship Him for who He is? And guys, God wants us to enjoy Him. He wants us to come into His presence and enjoy Him. And I think the next level of enjoying Him is to get addicted to Him. God, I cannot do anything without You. I need You desperate in my life. And guys, if God is important to us, we will also get into His Word. Because His Word is what His will is for us. If you need to know God's will, get into His Word. The highest manifestation of God is His Word. What God is saying. I was reading a book the other day, and this guy said, you know, for the past 30 years, he's been reading through the Bible once a year. Man, I was at the moment I was condemned. but you know, when the devil came to Jesus, like Anton was sharing this morning, and please get that word as soon as we put it on the internet. But you know what? When Satan came to tempt Jesus, you know what? Jesus was filled with the Word. And when Satan came to Him, and usually the first thing that he will do is to, you know, to get us a little bit rattled about our identity. Because the Father said unto Jesus, "This is My beloved Son." The first words that the enemy said, "If You are the Son of God." tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. Man will not live from bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the word of his mouth. We need to get into his word. Guys, I want to encourage you. Get into the word. And the Bible says we not only need to get into the word, but we must meditate on the word. And that means take time with that word. Sometimes, you know, God speaks to me one scripture, and I would sit on a scripture for half an hour, for 45 minutes, for 1 hour, just meditating on it. And you know what? When you meditate on that scripture, it becomes life. It becomes power. It becomes the sword of the Spirit. Are you still with me? Ephesians 6 talks about the sword of the Spirit. You know what? That word needs to get from your mind to your heart. That's about half a feet. But when it gets into your heart, and it only gets in your heart by meditation, that's what Psalm 1 says. It says, when you meditate on his word day and night, you will be like a tree planted next to a water stream. And that tree will give, it says, it will gives fruit in season, and the leaves will not wither. And it says, and that person, everything he does successfully. Are you still with me? We need the word into our hearts. The next thing that Asa did, he removed everything that could make his people stumble. He wasn't just thinking about himself. He was thinking about others as well. You know what? This Christian walk, we don't do it by ourselves. We need others. You know what? We need others that can talk to us. We need others that can talk into our lives. We need others that can tell us, hey, why are you so grumpy? Are you still with me? We need others that can say, no, 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 don't talk about your leaders like that. Are you with me? You know, we need others that can say, hey, are you a materialistic person? Are you still with me? Because sometimes when the enemy gets into our lives and he misleads us, is that the right word? And he disguises us, you know what? Usually we're the last person to find out about it. We become materialistic. We run for stuff. And everybody around you sees it, but you don't see it. And that's when a brother, you know, in all the grace and mercy can just say, hey, what's going on in your life? From when are you so materialistic? Me, materialistic? No way. You know, but usually we're the last one that see it. Especially with pride as well, you know. So you need a good brother that's there for you. So we don't run this race on our own. Let me just see where I was. Verse 5 says, he also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. So guys, we're not in this race all by our own. Cut with the things that can make your brother or your sister stumble, and reign in your freedom to help your brother and your sister. We are here to help one another. We are here, the Bible says in Hebrews, we must encourage one another. You know what? We must tell one another, let's go, let's worship the Lord. Let's push in the Spirit. Then we see Asa, he strengthened himself. Verse 6 and 7 says, and he built fortified cities in Judah. So they built and prospered. So what happened? God gave him peace for about 10 years. And then he started to build these fortified cities. And I've written down here, fortify yourself in the Lord and become strong in him. Ephesians 6, that's a chapter on spiritual warfare. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God says we must become strong in him. We must become strong in the power of his might. And how do we become strong in it? How do we become strong in the power of his might? Maybe just turn to each other, groups of two or three. Let's just discuss it. How do I become strong in the Lord? Let's just talk to each other. Okay, John, I'm going to give you a minute or two. How do we become strong in the Lord? Okay, let me hear some feedback. How do we become strong in the Lord? What do you like to say, Norika? What do you say? Pray. Okay. Word. Get into the Word. Anna, what did you guys say? Self-desire. Sound bit. Pray together. Fellowship of believers. Speak his word, believe his promises. Okay, testimonies. What else? At the back? Testimonies. Pray in your tongue. Yes, you're in front? Okay. Time in his word, that's okay. Go for it. Obedience. Okay. Wonderful. You guys, amen. You guys, you know your word. Okay. How do we become strong in him? I just written down three. Follow him. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. Well, we can stop just there because that's an awesome, awesome revelation. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The making is in the following. See, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to run with you. Follow him. Then I've written down here, obey him. Obey him. You know what? Obedience will make you grow like a mushroom, man. Just like that, overnight. Yeah, obedience will accelerate your Christian growth. And then trust him. It is so important that we trust him. Joshua talked about the promises of God. You know what? There comes a moment that we step back. There comes a moment. You're praying for something. And you're praying for it. And you're praying for it. But there comes a moment that you need to release that thing. That you say, God, it's now in your hands. And now I'm trusting you. You know what, sometimes, you know, we try to push this thing, and that's fantastic. But there comes a moment that you and I need to release it. Say, God, it's now in your hands. Like our salvation. You know, he said, Jesus, I trust that you died for me on the cross. And I believe it. So we need to trust him. Be a man or a woman of action. I've written down, invite somebody for next week. Amen. Who's going to do it? All of you. Thank you very much. Asa used his opportunities. Verse 7. Therefore he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Guys, it's so important that we run with the opportunities that God gave us. Use your opportunities. Fortify yourself. Armor yourself. Get in the word. Meditate the word. You never know what lies before you. I remember long ago when I did Bible school. That was ages ago. There was a guy who did a video course with us. His name was Bob Nichols. Actually, we watched him on video. And he had this saying, build your faith before the storm. Build your faith before the storm. If I understand Matthew 7 correctly, either your house is either built on the sand, it's either built on the rock, but you know what? The storm is coming to both houses. And the house built on the rock, the house built on the Word of God, is the one that will stand. Use your opportunities. Bible school is an opportunity to get into the Word. Small groups is an opportunity to grow spiritually. Missions is an opportunity to serve. Let's go missions. Paul East is an opportunity to serve our community. It's all growth opportunities. Asa, the next thing that I saw of Asa is that he sought God when trouble came to him. It says in verse 9 that there was an army of the Ethiopians that came with 1 million men to fight the Israelites or Judah. And they had 300 chariots. Now, Asa was in big trouble. The kingdom of Judah, they were consist out of two tribes, Judah and, help me, Benjamin. Okay. And from the two tribes, they got 600,000 mighty warriors. So the army that came against them was 1 million warriors. And they also had 300 chariots. Now, chariots in those days were very advanced. Oorlogstuig, weapons of mass destruction. But they, you know, so the enemy was quite advanced. He had chariots. You know what, it would be like today, you know, we need to fight America and they've got the stealth aircraft. You know, they've got the stealth bombers, the stealth jet fighters. You know what, their weapons are far more advanced than, you know, than our sabers that's flying around. You know, we gonna have some trouble. So verse 11 says, and Asa cried out to the Lord his God. And guys, this is, you know, you can take this home with you. How to see God in time of trouble. And he said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let men prevail against you. What a prayer. What a plea. You know what? Bravery is not the absence of fear. It is going forward in spite of your fears. When God wants to use you, you know what? And so many times when God, you know, I experienced when God gave me a word, or God wants me to go and talk to somebody, to speak to somebody, it's like my heart, you know, gets beating. Doof, 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 doof. And I know God wants me to go and speak to that person. It's like, oh, what am I going to say? Am I going to say the right words? You know, isn't that person going to misunderstand me? You know, and all this, you know, arguments that happens. Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you still here? And it, you know, and then bravery is moving forward in spite of your fears. That's why God said to Joshua, be courageous. Do my words. Okay, so guys, we need to attack the enemy. And verse 12 to 15 said, then they defeated all the cities around Gera. For the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Guys, it is when we obey God that, you know, that our spiritual growth is just accelerated. There's nothing that will let you grow faster spiritually than obeying God. When God speaks to you, do it. You know what? When God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want to test you. You know, go and sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering. God was testing him. God wanted to find out, you know, if the fear of God was in that man. When God speaks to us, there's a beautiful word that says explicit obedience. I like that word. Our obedience needs to be explicit. Be battle ready. Now, Asa, he ran with God. You think this is a good man? I think this is a good man. I think we can learn a lot from him. And then we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 that he worked with the prophetic word. And I wrote down, if you show yourself diligent, the Spirit of God will strengthen you. You know what? When you start obeying God, you will see that there will be more of the Spirit of God in your life. You will experience more of the empowering power of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit will be there. In I think it's in Acts 5:32, it says, you know what? God gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. It is obedience that will draw us closer to God. Now how will the Spirit of God strengthen us? Guys, we need to manage our time. Setting out time to meet with God. Make an appointment with God. Don't leave it over to chance. You know what? I was reading this book the other day, and I could so identify with it. This guy, he's in men's ministry, and someone asked him, he says, tell me about your day. Tell me about your life. He says, what do you want to know? He says, no, how do you live? How you do it? He says, well, I get up early, and I spend time with God. He says, when the house starts running, you know, and I know at what time my house starts running, and then I need already to spend time with God, to meet with God, and to be in his word. So it is so important that you and I will have time management, setting out time to meet with God, that we will manage our finances, that we will put God first in our finances. You know what? Money, God tests us with money. He tests us to see if we trust him, if we have faith in him. God said, you know what? Give me the first part of your finances. And actually, when we tithe, we're not giving God anything. We just give him that belongs to him. Are you still with me? And I want to challenge you guys. Let's get past this thing of just giving our tithe. And let's start living generously. The tithe belongs to God. That the Bible is very clear about. But you know what? When God tells you, give. Are you still with me? And there's a 200 rand note. And he said, give. Don't break it. Give it. When God challenges you, you know, give. There's this person that comes to you. And God says, I want to give you that. I want you to give that person 100 rand. I want you to give that person 50 rand. You say, God, this is my last 50 rand. This is my last 100 rand. Start to trust him. Start to trust him. He cares for you, and he cares better for you than you can look after yourself. And then also, what we need to do is by managing the people in your life. Make people a priority. People is important for God. Make people a priority. Now, 2 Chronicles 15 says, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Odeh, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? He says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Wow. You can underline that in your Bible. It says the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Guys, God responds to what is going on in our hearts. And that's why it is so important that our hearts needs to be soft. You still remember the story of the sower that went out. He went out and he sowed the seeds. And you know what? It was the same seed. And the crop that it produced was determined by the quality of the ground. Are you still with me? You can make a study of that. And then in verse 7, the prophet said to him, "But you take courage." And I just sense that the Spirit of God is tonight saying to us, take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Don't let your hands be weak. Your work shall be rewarded. Living a life that is God-pleasing needs courage. God, I want to do it your way. I want to live my finances your way. I want to live relationships your way. I want to live faith your way. I want to live life your way. It takes courage. He took courage to do God's work. He repaired the altar of the Lord. They sacrificed unto God. They made covenant with God. They swore an oath. You can go and read all that. But then he stumbled over the last hurdle. He stumbled over the last hurdle. You know what? Our biggest challenge, is not to become familiar with God, not to become familiar with his presence, not to become familiar with his ways. You know what? We can so easily think we know it all. And you know what? That's what happened with Asa. He thought he knew God's presence. He thought that he knew God's ways. He thought that he knew the way that God operates. And guys, I just want to encourage you tonight. Stay humble in your walk with God. Stay humble before him. Don't think that you know it all. Stay close to people who can be honest to you, who can give you input, who can keep you accountable. When you found a wife, the Bible says you have found something good, someone that can keep you down to earth. What happened to Asa? He lost his connection to God. Verse 2 and 3, what happened is there was another war. He was in a tight spot. And the word says, he took silver and gold from the treasuries of the temple of God and the royal palace and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who lived in Damascus. So he bribed the king of Israel's ally. He didn't went and consulted God. He didn't talk to God. You know what? He thought, this is not such a big thing. You know, I will just took money from the temple. I will just took money from the palace and, you know what, bribe this guy. Give him a lot of money. Gave him a gift. Okay? And what happens next is that he lost his way with God. The prophet came to him and said, because you went for help to the king of Aram and didn't ask God for help, you've lost a victory over the army of the king of Aram. Then the Ethiopians and the Libyans came against you with superior forces, completely outclassing you with their chariots and cavalry. But you asked God for help, and he gave you the victory. Hey guys, and I just want to encourage you tonight. Remember all the victories that God gave you. Wrote it down. Write it down. Every time that God gives you a breakthrough, every time God comes through for you, write it down. Because God is faithful. And when times like this come, you know, rather than making a plan without consulting God, that we will go back to God and say, God, please help me. in this situation. Asa, he lost his commitment to God. You know what? In verse 9, this is such a, you know, we know the scripture. It's one of those outstanding verses in the Bible. This is in the God's Word translation. The prophet came and said to Asa, God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. You were foolish to go for human help when you could have had God's help. Now you're in trouble. One round of war after another. So he lost it. He lost his commitment to God. Rather than consulting God, he made a human plan. And what happened is that he lost his heart for God. Verse 10 says, when the prophet spoke to him, that wonderful promise, at that Asa lost his temper. Angry, he put Hanani in the stocks. At the same time, Asa started abusing some of the people. This prophet said, you know what? God is looking to and fro. He's looking at hearts that are willing to follow him. He says, and that was your heart. King, that was your heart. What have you done? And you know what? Asa, he got so angry, he took the prophet, put him in jail. But you know what? Sometimes we don't like to hear the truth. Hello? I remember this one counselor said, you know what? At first, the truth will make you miserable, but then it will set you free. You know what? Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. He was so angry, he put this prophet in jail, and at the same time, he started abusing some of the people. He got hard. His heart grew hard. And because there was a harshness in his heart, he started to oppress the people. It says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa came down with a severe case of foot infection. He didn't ask God for help, but went instead to the doctors. Is it wrong to go to the doctors? No. But first we go to God. First we consult God. First we ask him to touch us. And then we go to the doctors, because the doctors is helping God. Let's stand and let's pray together.